so great to welcome Bert Kreischer back to the show. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Morning.
Good. Good. And congratulations on all your success.
Well, thank you so much. I hope you watch the series tonight, and I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah. Free Bert.
Nice.
Yep.
I love the premise.
Yes.
It's basically you and trying to fit into society. Your daughter goes to like a fancy private school, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like time to put the shirt on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think a lot of people see me and think I live my life out loud and that I'm just like a bull in a china shop. But there is this weird part of me that is looking for approval and always looking to fit in and trying to do better and trying to make sure my family's comfortable. And it harkens back to a period of my life, 2016, when I felt like an outsider at the girls' school and I tried my best to fit in and I just screwed up royally. And that is every special I released on Netflix after that.
Wow.
You know, in 1997, I think you were named the number one partier in the nation at the number one party school. And, you know, that legendary, you know, title has stuck with you. So everyone does. They picture you, the guy, no shirt, and the wild, crazy partier.
They expect that now.
They expect that.
Yep.
And then, so in 16, you're where? In Hollywood?
I'm living in L.A. I've been working for Travel Channel. I just got fired.
Right.
I was supposed to do this Funny or Die tour called Oddball. I got kicked off that for no reason at all.
Really?
I had a special that came out on Showtime. Did not perform well.
Wait. No, they gave you no reason for why they kicked you off?
Save money. They were like, we're just going to pull dates. You're part of that. Sorry.
Okay.
And so literally I was at like a crossroads in my life going like, what am I doing? Girls are in a school. All the parents I feel like are rich. We have no money coming in. And I'm like a mess. I'm a mess. And then literally me trying to fit in was every story that ended up in my special, like Secret Time, Hey Big Boy, Razzle Dazzle, Lucky. I mean, you name it.
You're like, what are these slots on my shirt for? Oh, that's where the buttons go.
Wait, how's this work exactly?
I remember going to a party and everyone had their shirt tucked in. And I was like, am I supposed to have a tucked in shirt?
Right.
Like mine didn't reach because of my stomach.
Just tuck your stomach in.
Yeah. Now what do I do?
Right. Just pull your pants up to your nipples. You're good.
You know, it's a real relatable story because I think everybody, or at least most people, go places and then they're like, I don't think I belong here. I don't fit in here.
Yeah.
And what do I do now?
The square pegging the round hole person. Yep.
Yeah.
I think the series is really made for like the real parents who are a little late to drop off. They drink around their kids. They curse around their kids. They share their flaws around their kids. They don't show up on Sunday at the school to move tables with all the other parents. They're not like wildly involved. I think that's who the show is made for, is for like regular parents to feel normal.
And have you watched all of the episodes?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't know. It's Bert Kreischer, so I'm trying to gauge the level of what is Bert involved?
Right. What is
not really involved in the parenting.
Right.
You know, maybe he's not involved in the editing. Yeah, you've seen them
I'm
all?
An executive producer, so I've seen them all, yeah.
All right. Great. And they all come out today,
right.
So you could binge watch it.
It's out right now. You can binge watch them, and we made it. Hopefully, we made it. When I pitched the show, I pitched it to Netflix as like, Black Doves are slow horses of a family comedy, meaning I didn't want it to be episodic. I didn't want every episode for them to solve. Like the Kreischer family needs a birthday cake.
Right.
The Kreischer family gets a new dog. I wanted it to be that first episode. You watch it. You meet the characters. You meet the family. You meet the lead character. And by the end, you're married to his story. And you're like, I want to see how he gets out of this.
Wow.
So hopefully it's bingeable. Hopefully you watch it, that first episode, and by that last line, you're like, okay, I got to find out what happens in episode two.
Do you ever do a play a venue with no shirt on and say, man, it's too cold in here?
Cutting glass.
Yeah,
I did. I did outdoor. By the way, a lot of the arenas I do, and I think I'm coming through Atlantic City in April, but a lot of the venues I do are hockey arenas.
Oh, God.
So there's ice under the ground.
Right?
So you go in, and they got to keep the ice there, and you're freezing.
Yeah. you ever try and hang something off your nipples like car keys, something like that?
Dude, I did Chicago during the pandemic. I created an outdoor touring festival,
right?
So we did it at drive-in movie theaters, and there was a drive-in movie theater on the lake, and it started snowing in the middle of my set, and I was shivering. I've never gotten through the machine story so fast.
He's blue. Don't you just draw a face around like your nipples and stuff like that? Glasses.
Dude, you guys were in Atlantic City, right?
Connecticut.
Close.
Connecticut. Dude, it's freezing in New York. I'm in New York right now.
Nice.
It's cold here.
I was like, I'm standing outside Madison Square Garden waiting for my billboard to show up for the Beacon Theater.
Yeah.
I'm at the Beacon like April 23rd through the 25th. And I'm freezing my ass off waiting for the screen to change. It is a 4-foot by 8-foot billboard on the side of a wall next to an Avis. I'm like, are you kidding me? It is 2 degrees here. I'm dying.
That's awesome.
I got ripped off.
Well, I'm glad you know, I didn't realize your career was in any kind of a crisis in 16. I just always thought you were killing it the whole time.
Success the whole time, yeah.
Yeah, so that's an interesting.
Everyone always says that. I think I live out loud on Instagram, and obviously you don't show the bad parts on Instagram. I remember one time having like a meltdown on Instagram about life and being fat, and everyone reached out like, are you okay? And I was like, that'll never happen again. I'll never be honest on Instagram.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Were you on the tour?
Yeah, 2016 was uphill.
Were you on the tour with Chappelle when he walked off stage in Hartford?
No, I've never.
That was Oddball.
No, I've never
been on. One he was.
that was Oddball. Yeah.
That's the one you were kicked off of.
We don't have a good relationship with them either.
It only came around two.
They screwed me, and then I created my own festival, Fully Loaded, and then I've been touring. I've been doing. I do big festivals now because out of spite, honestly, like I have a Full Throttle festival the night before the Daytona 500 with me, Leonard Skinner and Diplo.
Oh, wow.
And honestly, I do it out of spite because I got kicked off that tour and I was so jaded. I was so bitter that I was like, you know what? Screw you. I'll start my own tour. I think a lot of my success has been out of spite of like, I didn't get a chance. I didn't get an opportunity. I didn't get success until late in life. Like I was like 45, 46 when I started making money. So then I was like, dude, make hay while the sun shines. Like I'm not coming off the road. You're not going to get the ball out of my hands. And so, and so like when an opportunity like this came out, I was like, yeah, I'm busy, but I'll carve out 3 months. I'm going to live in Atlanta. I'm going to focus on the project and then I'm going to promote the hell out of it. I'm 53. I've got money. I don't need to wake up and do radio, but I'm so excited about this project that I go, this is what happens when success shows up late in life. It doesn't define you. It's just some stuff that happened to you.
You
know what I mean?
Yeah. And I'm glad you did radio.
Yeah, man.
So thank you.
Yeah.
And we got to let you go.
Art's on the other phone saying,
get him off.
I genuinely appreciate you guys having me on. It means the world.
Anytime.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bert.
Thank you, sir.
Free
Thank
Bert.
Yes.
Free Bert.
Bert Kreischer. His television Netflix show, Free Bert, is on and available now. That sounds like a fun watch.
Yeah. Mm. I had an idea for him, something where he'd make money. He should have his own lines like pasties.
Yeah, okay.
Bert Kreischer pasties. It'd be funny.
With his face on him?
No, just different things.
That would be funny.
Different characters, his face on it, yeah.
No, his face with like a long beard.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could be all kinds of different things, like witches hats, things like that. It'd be cool.
Oh, if you got chest hair, it's like a woolly willy. You could just kind of
move
it around.
Nice.
Nice. Or nipple rings, yeah.
No, he came in studio. He was great.
Yeah.
He did the whole shirt off thing.
Yep.
We had a blast and took a picture. Then he ended up in the montage at my last big birthday party.
Yeah.
Wow.
And, everyone of every age was like, you were with Bert Kreischer?
Yeah. He's a thing, man.
Yeah, he's a thing.
Well, he is, man. He changed the way I do stand-up after listening to one of his interviews, actually.
Oh, is that right?
Because he did an interview with Joe Rogan. He's like, I did research. People only watch like the first 5 or 10 minutes of anything on Netflix. He's like, I took my closer and I moved it to the front of my set for my Netflix special so people were more engaged. So I took that as advice. I don't do my closer, but I do like one of my better jokes at the beginning
right
so
up
people
front.
No. And then, like, the next 10 minutes are crap, and then I finish.
then there's your closer.
Yeah. Right. Yeah,
so it's basically a crap sandwich.
Exactly.
There's the bread, and then crap, and then bread.
I mean, you saw my comedy set. You know how it goes.
I loved it. I loved every second of it.
It was a crap sandwich.
What were you going to say about the Oddball tour, Phil?
So the Oddball comedy tour came through Connecticut, and everybody was, because it was like 30 names, and everyone was like, oh my God, I get to see all these, you know, they all get like, I don't know, 20 minutes or something. So it was pretty fast moving, but the big deal was that Dave Chappelle was at the end of it, and he was a very late announcement from what I remember. So people go, it's packed, and everyone just starts shouting. There are two sides to this. There's the Dave side and the audience side, but everyone starts shouting like Chappelle's Show quotes at him, and he picks up the microphone and he was like, I don't want North Korea to bomb the United States, but if they do, I hope it hits Hartford. Puts the microphone down and walked off the stage.
I remember that, yeah.
But I, you know, if you talk to the audience, they'll tell you he was bombing. He was unprepared and he was all over the place.
I mean,
yelling stuff out like, you suck.
Yeah, do this if you've got nothing. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That was the other side of it.
Yeah.
I went the next year and Louis C.K. was the headliner, and he says, hey, before you guys leave, I have a special treat. Chappelle came back out and did a set as a make-up.
And it was killer.
It was killer.
It was awesome. Wow. I was like, I'm glad I didn't leave. And then he goes, I sold T-shirts that said, I hope North Korea bombs Connecticut. And he said, all the sales came from Connecticut.
Wow. I guess we agree.